The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Glory to you, O Lord. The sisters of Lazarus sent word to Jesus saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death, but it's for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." He became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died?" So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, "Lord, by now there will be a stench. He has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus said, raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me. But because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to him, "Untie him and let him go." Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning. Everybody here knows and are able to say what Christ said, that we believe that he is the resurrection and the life. But the question is, first, how do we see death? I've seen people who will not bring their children during funerals. Why not? Why would you tell them not to see these things? It's part of life. How can they see or appreciate resurrection and the life if they are denied about this possibility, or not possibility, but the reality of death? And how do we see death? No? Hopefully for all of us here, we believe
that death is not the end. It is what? A continuation. There's nothing to be afraid of. We are not supposed to be afraid of death. But what we might be afraid is the dying part. I do. How about you? Yes or no? Me, the dying part, because, you know. But as a priest, I've seen people dying. The sad thing is this. People call us when they're dead. What are the sacraments? Are the sacraments for the dead or for the living? For the living. But people call us or hesitate to call us because they might offend the dying. Don't worry about them. Don't be politically correct. Tell them, hey, you're dying. Wanna tell me to go to call a priest? Tell them. They're dying. Don't be, oh, you're dying. And then do nothing. That's crazy. You want the person to die a holy death. Yes or no? And how can he or she have a holy death if you hesitate to call the priest to give him what? The consolation of the sacraments, confession, anointing of the sick, and the words of the priest. We have prayers there. Go forth, Christian soul. Don't you know that in the dying part, those are the last temptations where doubts and fears and anxieties happen at the same time? Oh, God will not allow me to go to heaven because I have sinned so much. All those things. But here you are crying and doing nothing. No. Your faith should shine in front of this person dying so that this person dying will not be afraid. So here we are saying, I believe that Christ is the life and the resurrection and the life. But what have you done to the people around you to show that you believe in this? No? What is your idea? And remember, I've seen people who rejected the sacraments. I don't want this, I don't want that, I don't want to see the priest. I said to myself, nothing personal. If you don't like the sacraments, not my problem. Yes, not my problem. Because when you reject the priest, who do you reject? Christ. You reject Christ when the priest goes there and wants to give you everything that you need just in case. But if you don't like it, again, I will not lose sleep over it. I will pray for the person dying. I will not hate the person. I might worry a little because this person is full of hatred. But I will not, you know, if he chooses to reject the sacraments, so be it. So make sure that this idea of death should not be feared. Because we know, as Christians, as Catholics, that we go forth into another kind of existence. In the gospel today, Christ cried, perturbed. Why? It's not as if he doubted himself. Most probably, again, the idea of dying. If only mankind was obedient to the will of God from the very beginning, mankind would not have experienced death. And Christ knew that not only the death of Lazarus, but every time he sees people dying, It saddens him because he is the God of life. It was never the intention of God for mankind to experience death. God created man immortal. But because of sin, that is why we are here, separated from God because of sin, because we live a life of worldliness, of selfishness. We should live a life in the Spirit, intimately united with Jesus, looking for spiritual things, doing the will of God, obeying Him, loving Him. But in each and every one of us, there is a struggle. Do I really want to be with Jesus? Or do I want to follow my will? Do I want to go after worldly things? Or do I seek first the kingdom of God? Life in the Spirit, with God, for God, in God, or life for this world that we live in? Look into yourself. No? Me, I want to be what you call a sure bet. No? I thought to myself when I was young, if I get married, yes, it will be nice and wonderful and beautiful, but what will happen? I'll be seeking worldly things to feed my family, find a job to make more money. I said to myself, especially when I felt the call of God, might as well what? Go with what God wants me to be, even though I knew it would be very difficult. Because to live in the Spirit means to deny yourself, yes or no? Christ said so. Do you want to follow me? Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. And I was very young when God called me to be a priest, and I didn't like it because I wanted to be normal like you. Drinking, having some fun time, having whatever. Oh, yes. But I told God, Lord, you better know what you're doing. But I had to accept it. Even my own mother wrote me a letter and said, you are not meant to be a priest, you're too crazy. So when I became a priest, boy, she started brown nosing, you know, because I became a priest, even though she didn't believe in me. I said to my mother, nothing personal. You didn't call me anyway to be a priest. It was God. I didn't become a priest to please you. I became a priest to please God. And that is what is most important here, huh? Do we agree that we have to please God? We have to make sure that God is happy with us, that God wants to see us, that God wants to be with us in His kingdom. So you better do your part. During this Lent, what have you been doing? Have you done your part praying more? Have you gone to confession? Or are you like taxpayers waiting for the last Friday or the last Saturday of Lent to go to confession? What are you doing? You're supposed to have gone to confession in the first week of Lent. And in throughout Lent, you should not be sinning. You should be sinless. That is how to make God happy. But if you are going to go to confession at the end of Lent, what are you doing? You're being cunning. You'd like to fool God by saying, I'm going to go sin again anyway. Might as well confess at the last day. Do you think God doesn't know how selfish you are? How selfish and worldly we are? All of us here are tempted, I'm telling you. That is why we priests, we go to confession every 2 weeks. Because we are weak like you. But how about you? What are you doing to protect yourself? The devil will have a hold on you if you do not maintain the cleanliness of your soul. You do many things to your car to make it well maintained. What have you done to maintain your souls? No? Even though it will be more job for us, that will be our joy. But many times on Fridays of this Lent, we just got stuck in the office without nobody going to confession. Where are the people of God? I just say to God, Lord, I hope they are perfect. I hope they are not sinning. But no, I don't think so. I don't think that you are perfect. I do know that just like everybody else, we are all sinning. So please, live in the Spirit. Protect yourself. Pray more. Love God more. And this I say because you and I agree, we have to always what? Do everything ad maiorem resurgentis gloriam. We do everything for the greater glory of the risen Christ.